Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Interviews with Everyday People, episode 123. Last episode I thought was 123, and we talked about it for like 15 minutes, and it was 122. So that happens sometimes when you podcast. But I am here with someone who I've gotten relatively close with, but he doesn't probably realize, he probably doesn't think we're as close as we are because I listen to him more than he probably, like, I listen to his stories on his podcast, and it's done very, very well. Mario from Welcome Back, what's going on, bud?
Oh, nothing much. Thanks for having me on. It's funny, over the years, Emily's kind of developed a friend group online of people she's never met before, and like, you're kind of my one person who, like, I interact with on a regular basis on the internet, who, like, I just never, we never met. We've never even been in the same, even now as we're recording, different locations.
It's great. It's crazy. Like, if people who are wondering, it's like I said, Mario from Welcome Back from the IWEP Network, a podcast that I got to meet through Chris through another podcast and local wrestling shows, and then met you through them, and just been listening since episode one, and I feel like I know so much about you guys, and it's great. It's funny because I feel like I heavily relate a lot to you, especially like in your journey, and I'm going through the same journeys because I've had a lot of the same. I think we're very similar in some of our struggles and some of the things we've tried to get better at with ourselves, and it's an awesome show, and I can't really wait to dive into this and learn more about you on a personal level and actually have these conversations. But how did you get into this whole podcast world, or how did you jump into this?
Well, to take it all the way back, I had a karaoke machine that my mom had purchased for the house and for having friends over, but it also like got the radio in, and it had little cassette tapes with the function like to record. So you didn't have to sing karaoke if you wanted. You could just record a message on a tape, or if you played the radio and hit record on the cassette, it would record there too. So back when I was like 10 or so, I had to make little radio shows with my buddy.
You know what's hilarious?
Yeah.
I did the same exact thing. Except I had it was just a boombox, and it had two decks, and you could put the radio on, and then, but you could hit play and record, and it would just pick you up through the speakers. Just like when you talked to the boombox, it would audio record your voice. And first we used it, for some reason we thought it'd be funny to do commentary for our actual wrestling matches that we were having, either with our toys or with actual human beings. Or we would just make up commentary in our imagination of we were watching a match and two of us would do commentary together, which that turned out to be something later. And then it turned into, I would make like mixtapes. If like I liked a girl, I would like, oh, this song came on the radio, quick record it. And then I'd just take a song off my one and play it. And I'd be like, this song is for you, and this is what it means to me. And I hit record. Hopefully these never resurface. But yeah, I did the same thing. I had little makeshift radio stations. That's hilarious that you did the same thing I did.
I wonder how similar our childhood is, because do you remember the name you guys would call your wrestling federation?
I think we always just called we were WWF. Like we were always, we weren't that creative, but we just called ourselves WWF.
Yeah. Cause I did that too with my buddies wrestling and making up storylines and just always figuring out a way to screw over my buddy Steve, just to make sure that I was always a champ and he was never the champ, and any opportunity that he would get, I'd make sure to squash him. And then one particular time that I enjoyed was I put over someone who's like really small. But because Steve was so ready to get this title, he made up a rule that whoever wins, like if a championship changes hands, then it can't for the rest of the day. And we only hang out for like a day, and then a week goes by and it's weekends because we're in like school still.
Yeah.
And so I lost on purpose to like my younger friend, and he wanted to fight him instantly. I was like, you made the rule, man.
Yeah.
Next week, and I get a rematch.
I'm interested in my rematch clause. Yeah. We would try to find as many cardboard boxes as we can. And like, we found like these giant like refrigerator boxes, and like you can like break them and pop them back up. And they were our tables. Like we would jump, we broke so many bed frames growing up. It was out of control. But so your humble beginning started with a karaoke machine.
Yeah. And then a few years back, Chris got on the PA Power Driver as a guest spot, and he told me about it, and I listened to it. And then in the thing, he said, Mario's going to be jealous that I was on a wrestling podcast before him. And he was right. And then he invited me on for some guest spots, and then I kind of became a regular for a little bit there. And then I popped over on your show to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, my secret lover, if you will. And you gave me the opportunity to share my love for it. And then things were starting to go along, and Chris and I were having some ideas. And, you know, he's one of my best friends from college, my Diablo friend, my bestie. And we came up with this project, Welcome Back Together.
And actually, the idea of it started on the PA Pile Driver. And I was like, that's a great idea, saying welcome back and not see you later. And I, as soon as I heard the first episode, we kind of talked about this a little bit, I think, on a guest spot on yours. But I had a pre-idea of who I thought you were all were as people, kind of because of who you associated with. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to like them at all. And then I listened, and you're like, the first episode or second episode in was like a political one. And I was like, oh man. And it was at a time where, like, in a political landscape, we're losing our family members and our best friends and our people we care about, because it's like, it was just so divided and people went in different directions. And you're like, well, it's hard to say I love you when you stand for everything that I don't stand for. And it's hard to say, like, well, it's just, but it did mean something for on both sides. And I listened to the podcast and I was like, oh, they are not who I thought they were at all.
Yeah.
And I fell in love, and I listened ever since. And then I think I listened to like four or five of them or something. And then I reached out and I was like, wouldn't they be part of the network?
Yeah. Chris and I, when we started this adventure, I do not dare speak for Chris necessarily, but I'll speak anything I say, hold it against me, not against him. But it's almost like we treated it as like a public journal, if you will, you know, just a place for us to be, you know, not Instagram authentic, you know, no filters here, no pretending this is what our life is, but the real authentic, I even hate using that word authentic, but just that real rawness of like, hey, here's where we're at. Here's how things are. And it's kind of developed from like us specifically talking about like specific topics to now we kind of consider those our presents episodes, where we're presenting a theme, a subject, a topic, and then everything else is more or less a banter. What's going on in the day? What's on our minds lately? And just a chance kind of for us to, you know, the word deconstruct has become popularized lately, and it's usually used in terms of religion, but we kind of treat the podcast as an opportunity to deconstruct our lives. You know, why are we the way we are? And not just to acknowledge it and do a trauma dump, but to actually kind of grow from it and face it.
Absolutely. And that honestly, I picked that up immediately. And that's why I was like, this embodies everything that I want my network to be. I want it to be authentic. I want it to be real conversations. I don't want people who are just trying to be edgy to be edgy. I don't want people who are trying to be funny just to be funny. I want genuinely funny people. I want genuinely passionate people. If you like, but I want you to come at it from the view of an everyday person. Like, if this gets big, like, every single person that I feel that's on my network, if we were to all somehow for some reason become Joe Rogan tomorrow, I feel we would all stay true to who we are as people. And I think that's a theme that I try to stay really close to in this network of this, like the IWEP network, obviously interviews with everyday people, but it's just the overall theme of the network is everyday people just making content.
We started to set some like unspoken expectations as the podcast went on. We started moving to every week putting out content, and we did shift away from doing the present style every week to maybe trying to do a presents every month and everything else be a banter style episode. And when things in life got in the way, I needed to remind myself like what the actual goal is of doing the podcast. Cause some people do set up a podcast just to make money, or sometimes people do set up a podcast just to get fame or notoriety. You know, I don't really have any accomplishments to put behind me. All I have to present is myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I recently we had to sit down, we had to think like, what's the goal of this podcast? Is it something we want to do? I gave him the out, basically. I didn't want him to feel like he's roped into doing something he might not want to do anymore. He's 100% in on it. I'm 100% in on it. But when we looked at the goals, the goal wasn't to create a podcast where we put on an episode every week and build an audience. That was never the goal for the podcast. The goal for the podcast is to have a hobby with one of your closest buds and to not just waste time in conversation, but to actually try to grow personally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel like I'm there too. But I think in this fourth year, I'm definitely trying to grow this, and I definitely mm-hmm. want it to get to more ears. But at the end of the day, I have to, even just recently, I had to remind myself, like, hey, yeah. at the end of the day, you get to hang out with your buddies and record content. And it's just like, I've been having so many times where people would come up and like, you know, if you did this and you replicated what this person's doing, or if you're doing a wrestling show and you do it more like this, I'm like, but then that's not my content. I yeah. want to stay true to who I am, and I want to make the content we make. And it might not be the most popular, and it may be different from everybody else, but I'm hoping that's what stands out. But another thing too, like the quality for you guys are there. Your audio sounds good. You know, I'm giving you the opportunity to video sometime if you ever want to do it. But I understand that you guys do a different audio editing process. And yeah. to replicate that also with video would be difficult to do because you guys do fun little bits throughout it. Like if you go on a tangent or you say something that you might not want out in the world, you do elevator music.
Let's cut that.
You put the elevator music in. Yeah. And, it's beautiful. Like I think it's so, so entertaining. Because like I said, it is edited and there's work to it, but it's still, even though it's edited and you have like the horns or the things like that, you could tell it's pre-production or post-production. It's still authenticity. Thank you. That's where my stutter and my speech impediment kicks in. That still stays there, and it's super important, and I think you guys do a fantastic job.
Is a stutter and is that actually part of like a show?
Yeah, I had a real problem when I was a kid. And
it's a beautiful thing when people like face their challenges head on, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm afraid of heights, but I'm the first guy up the ladder because I'm not going to let my fears control me, you know, or I'm not going to let my shortcomings control me, you know, like finding opportunities to challenge yourself. And like, not only did you find something that would in a way be challenging when you started, because I almost never hear the stutter, but what I'm getting at is like, there's something powerful about doing a challenge of something that you aren't, you know, inherently prepared for.
You want to hear something that's even more mind-blowing that I don't tell a lot of people? You know, it's another thing I struggled with for a long time.
What's
being
that?
Social.
Yeah.
Being actively so I'm such technically like I have forced myself to become from an introvert to an extrovert. Like when I'm out in public, I appear and I come off as I'm extremely confident and I can take over a room. But after the whole thing is done, I go home and I just like mentally lose. And then the whole time I'm home, like, did I say something stupid? Did I say something too brash? Oh my God, do they hate me? Do they like me? Cause I overthink everything. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my biggest struggles going out and meeting people or even making content. Like I'll put it out and I'm like, oh, people are going to perceive me as this cause I said this, or like, and then I'm getting better at that. Just being like, I don't care. Like if I think the people who know me know I don't mean any ill will, or if I say something, I'm just either trying to be funny or I'm just trying to, or I like to combat my uncomfortableness or stuff like that with dark humor.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a turn off to some people, but I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm struggling with being social is sometimes hard for me.
The more you do it, the easier it becomes. Does that seem to ring true?
Yeah, I just trial by fire is what I kind of always been at my entire life. Like if something is going to be an obstacle, I just go for it.
Good, good. Yeah. Hey, you never shouted out what beer you're drinking, by the way.
Oh, I am drinking the El Segundo Steve Austin Broken Skull American Lager. This is the brand new beer. We had it on Bangin' Beers. We drank so much this weekend. It is WrestleMania weekend. Dude,
he didn't drink a drop, actually. I think it's all right into his mouth and then flows just right out of his mouth.
So this is like $20 a four pack.
Oh, geez.
And between night one of WrestleMania and night two, there was probably 65 beers in there. So that was over like $200-$300 worth of beer just dumped everywhere, which is awesome.
I'm pretty sure he walked out of that ring at the end of both nights just stone sober, because honestly, the way he pours it and sprays it and spits it.
He does say that it does. He has walked out of the ring a few times drunk because it just happens. It hits your mouth and you drink some of it. But
just a little whoopsies.
Yeah, a little whoopsie daisies. Imagine just getting paid millions of dollars to go out and close the night every night and just get hammered in front of 10,000 people, 100,000 people.
I would say that he earned it now, but like, thinking about like where he started when the Stone Cold character was blowing up, like how do you pitch to your boss? Like, all right, I got this idea for a character. I'm going to go down and just drink so much beer.
And I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, I'm going to be the first guy to do it. You're just going to let me get drunk in front of everyone, and I'm just going to flip you off right to your face, and they're going to love it, and you're going to pay me.
Yeah, and you're going to take my finishing move probably a billion times before this whole thing's over.
This might have been the last one, though, this week.
Oh, did you see? He took that like a dead fish.
Jeez.
I thought he broke his legs.
I hope he's all right.
I do, too. he'll never tell us if he was hurt. Vince is crazy. But yeah, he was crawling out of the ring. He's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, oop, there's my first curse. Yeah, so, you know, taking this journey and doing the podcast now for coming up on your second year, right? About a year and a half?
Yeah. Yeah. When Halloween hits. Halloween was our very first episode.
Oh,
so
my God.
Every Halloween is our anniversary.
That stage kiss to conversation is still one of my favorite things ever. I still want to do that so bad. Like, if I go to a show and I'm doing commentary, I'm walking up and stage kissing Chris if he's front row.
I'd say that this day and age it's probably fine, but some of the towns you guys have wrestling events in.
You know what, like, I will say I was shocked because the drive to get to this venue the entire way is very we'll just say very politically charged on the way to the event. And when we got there, there was a stand that was selling a lot of political merchandise, and I don't think they made a dime the whole show. And I was very shocked because I thought people were going to be eating that up. I think the wrestling crowd is a lot more like not leaning in that direction than you would think, which is very shocking in some certain aspects.
Yeah.
It's
nice that like AEW almost made it like a cornerstone for them to be the progressive promotion, and it's
carrying over.
It's almost like a testament to their success in a way.
Yeah. So you were talking about before how some of your struggles and some of your things that you have worked out on the podcast. What are some huge ones for you that you think you have overcome or had some big milestones in growth in that you have openly talked about on the podcast and gotten through it?
Well, it's funny because during our bullying episode where we talked about our struggles growing up and how that's actually reached into our adult lives, I talked about how I don't sing out loud. I don't sing even when I'm alone or in the shower, because when I was at home, my brother and his friend roasted me because I had headphones on, had my little Walkman CD player, and I was just jamming out and I was singing, and I finally like looked over, and who knows how long they've been standing there, but they were just dying laughing at me. And that embarrassment is simple and subtle and tiny as that little moment is, that little
scar,
that little speck is something that, you know, I carried with me for a really long time. But now that I've acknowledged it as why don't you sing? You just never sing. I was like, no, I just don't sing. And then when I finally nailed it down, like, oh, it's that moment that really, that tiny little thing that was never really addressed. Like, I never went up to him like, hey guys, you hurt my feelings by laughing at me singing, you know, but like, because of that unresolved, and I hate to use this weighted word for such a petty thing, but that little trauma is something that
it's like a
funnel. You got the little point, it just expands as it goes. And if it's never addressed, you know, you live 30 years of your life never singing. But now that I've talked about it with Chris and worked through it, like I catch myself singing nowadays, actually. I get a little song in my step. Between that and, you know, it's almost like a joke at this point, like how quickly into an episode before I bring up my parents' divorce is kind of like showing how profound that's actually been. And Emily was talking to me just the other day about like, wait, you changed elementary schools 4 times? I was like, yeah, you know, we 2 private schools, one of them closed, we had to go to another. And then, you know, when the parents got divorced, I went to, you know, a different one. And then, you know, this is kind of what you do. You move around. And she's like, no, that's actually not normal. And so, like, having a shout out to the Reckoning podcast, Matt Thornton, he's a friend from college, but the reckoning within myself of the tiny things that you just let go because you think it's normal. But, you know,
changing schools is is hard. Like, it's not always a Fresh Prince where you go to school and you're the coolest guy because you're the new guy. I was not definitely popular, then went to a school and was and then got tortured even worse, and then came back to my school, and when I came back, and that's when I kind of had my chip on my shoulder where I was just like, I don't care. Like, we're going to fight. Like, it is what it is. Like, that's how I resolved. Cause that was the way everybody resolved things. And, and then when I came back, everything changed a little bit. Cause I kind of wasn't as much of a pushover, but, changing schools is not easy.
I think by the time I graduated high school, from kindergarten through high school, I had been to 7 schools, and it just never really I never really understood that it was a weird thing to switch schools so much, but it's kind of,
Yeah, you had another moment on the podcast where you talked about an incident where I'm kind of the same way. I'm very bullheaded where I want to admit I'm wrong, or I try not to let the anger get the best of me. But sometimes when you're in the moment, you get angry and you say something that's maybe not your character, or you do something that's not your character. And then you're like, oh, I'm an asshole. I should have never did that. And you had a story where you ordered food and you I realized that I forget exactly how you made the mistake, but it was completely on you, and you just walked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You walked out and left.
Yeah.
And then realized that you were still hungry, and you walked back and you're like, hey man, I'm really sorry. It's going to look really, really stupid because you didn't drive there either. You walked, and you're like, I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to go to this person that probably just took that moment and just threw it out the window. Like, oh, just another jerk customer. See you later. And you like went back and apologized to that person and said, hey, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, it was completely on me. I made the mistake. And I remember listening to that episode, and I had a moment of myself that actually using StreamYard, where this person was trying to help me do something and it just wasn't working. And I was like, you're a fucking joke. And I cursed them out, and I did the whole thing on the virtual chat. And I closed it out and I ignored them and I gave them a bad review, and I pretty much, that goes to their bosses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I tried exactly what they told me a second time, but because I was so angry and frustrated, I wasn't doing it properly, and it fixed. And I was like, I feel like a jerk. So I literally went back to the help button. I hit it, and that person answered again. I was like, hey, by the way, I gave you a horrible review, and if you can take this and send that, attach it to your bosses, whatever it is, you actually fixed my problem. I was a jerk and I was impatient. Like, I got that from listening to your episode. And I was like, I should do that more often in my life. Like, instead of just getting angry, take a step back, take a breather.
Yeah.
And then reassess your situation instead of letting your emotions carry you through that problem.
Yeah. I wish there was I wish acknowledgement was enough too, you know, realizing the problems you have. Like, as far as patience goes, if I was just a little bit more patient at the pizzeria, things just would have been fine. It would have worked out. I would have went home. I wouldn't have had to swallow my pride. But like, even now, as someone who's fully aware of the problem of patience that they have, that I have, sorry for burping. I drink soda every podcast, but it always comes back. But, patience is still something that I struggle with. I know and I acknowledge that my patience is something that is lacking. And you would hope that just knowing, like, oh, I'm a very impatient person, like, now I have the head knowledge that I should be more patient, but it doesn't transfer. I'm still impatient. I still catch myself. And, you know, one of the things I like about Welcome Back is that you can acknowledge that it's a process. None of us are, me, Chris, or anyone who listens, at you, anyone who's listening here, you know, we're not finished works. You know, we're still wet clay. We're not hardened and kilned until we're cremated or buried, you know?
Yeah. And I love the fact that we can, like, and I try to be the same way on my podcast too, where like, I may have an opinion on something, like if in one of the 19 podcasts I do, I have an opinion on something, and I even say too, like, I may make a joke about it just for content sake, like just to be funny. But I'm not concrete, and I'm not saying I'm not someone who's strong for my convictions, but I'm not also going to be pride enough that I can't say I'm wrong for having those feelings. Like, I will sit down and talk to you and feel and hear out, like, maybe I am wrong for thinking this way or believing in this or thinking this way. And I'm open enough to listen, because I think having that humbleness of hearing another side of the spectrum and being like, you know what, you might be right here. I might be approaching this wrong, I think is a very cool thing to do. And I think it's a cool thing that you guys encourage on the podcast, just kind of hearing that side out and hearing all different stories before you make that rash decision. Or even if it's something you've been strong on for a while, you're like, oh, maybe I should change that up a hair.
Yeah, it's a lonely life being the one who's always right, and the sooner you realize that you're not, the better things will get.
Absolutely. Yeah. So going through, how many episodes are you guys up to now?
I think we're in our 50s. I think 54 or 55 just dropped. Our latest episode was a state of the pod where we talked about our goals and moving forward and what to expect. Yeah,
I'm like three behind, so I'm still catching up here. what's an episode that stands out for you that is one of your favorites?
I really do enjoy our like very, very early stuff, because we had the freedom of telling stories that weren't told before, but the longer the podcast goes, the more often you're going to repeat yourself. And I kind of steer away from repeating myself, probably to the detriment of the pod, because there's a lot of people who haven't heard every single episode, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the love episode was a good one. It's one of our worst listened to episodes, but I do stand by the wrestling episode.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Of course you did, because you're a wrestling fan, but not everyone who listens to the show is part of that. But I think the best is yet to come still, you know? Like, the more you do it, the more you get better at it. And I know that we got a couple things coming down the line. I'm not sure where we're going to land on the religion episode, just because it's a very deeply personal subject, but at the same time, it's something that is, you know, it's Chris's career, and it's something that I spent a lot of time educating myself on, and so keep an eye out for that one.
That is probably where I steer a completely different direction from used to. And it's funny, because it's been I used to be heavily involved in religion and the church, and a lot of people they're shocked when I hear that. But I, it's not like I just,
you mean the devil himself?
Yeah, the devil himself. Yeah, actually, we're it's on the other mic stand. I have a logo of me as the devil. It's not like I just woke up one day and like, oh, I don't believe any of this because it's the cool thing to do. Like, I dip my toes in, and
it's a very long process of almost like it's happening a lot to people on TikTok now, where you're scrolling, you're having fun, you know that the next video is going to be fun, and the video before that was fun, and you happen to get this video, and it's talking about your worldview, and it's talking about how your worldview is wrong and why they think so, and then you just end up down this rabbit hole, clicking hashtag after hashtag till you're on deconstruction talk, till you're on Norse pagan talk, till you're, you know, atheist talk, on agnostic talk, and you just kind of, to how much you're willing to test yourself, that's how far down this rabbit hole you go. Some people just start talking about how, you know, the Bible might not be the most authentic source. Boom. Swipe away. I don't care for that, because I know it's the most important ever. But one of the things that every good Christian should do, not the fake good Christian, but the real good Christian to do, is tackle their apologetics and understand why they believe what they believe, instead of just going to Sunday service, getting their talking point and going home. Or going to brunch and yelling at a server and then going home.
Some of the people that I dislike the most on this earth are Christians, like dedicated Christians. I'm like, you are an awful human. And I think that, like, that's not just the reason alone that it turns me off from religion, but like it definitely, like, I like, for some example, on the network, there are two podcasts that are very heavily inspired by Christianity and have very strong people in their faith on it. So I think it is very cool that we do offer that as well for people who are down that route. Like, it's not for me, but some other people may attach themselves to that. And I am very open to it. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say you're wrong. I'm not going to say you're dumb, you're stupid. That's just not my, bag. If it helps you become a better person and it helps you get by through life, then please do so. You know what I mean? But like, and I've said this before with you guys, but like, when you have those really, really strong conservative Christians who are like, I think that this and this and this are going to send you to hell. And it's like, wait, so you're just picking and choosing, like, all the other things you're doing are fine, but because two people are the same sex, you're going to condemn them for it. Like, I can't get behind that.
Here's one of the things that I've been struggling with these last few years is acknowledging and accepting responsibility for those people. Cause when you bring that up, the knee-jerk reaction is to be like, oh, those are people, not the church, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things people say. Yeah, but biblically speaking, the people are the church. The church isn't a building. The church is the body of people. And it's easy to scapegoat and be like, oh, no, those aren't real Christians. It's like, okay, so they're pretend sitting in church in a pretend building every Sunday. Oh, no,
they're totally
Sunday.
Convinced in what they
believe. Exactly. They're real people. And, you know, I only bring that up to say, like, too often people from my seat will try to write those people off to make sure that the church looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But if the church is ugly to the world around us, and if the church is ugly, period, you know, if we're to hold ourselves accountable to, you know, to God or Jesus or Muhammad or Odin or Zeus, they see it too. So I'm not doing anything by putting on a makeup for you, because the people who are really in charge see how ugly it is. And so I may convince you that the church isn't actually ugly, but the people who know that the church can be ugly or may be ugly already know.
Yeah, it really comes, and I don't want to just pick on church or Christianity. It's any group you're in. If you're a diehard wrestling fan, there's scumbags in the wrestling world. If you're an artist, there's scumbags in the art world. It's every group that human beings seem to gather, because at the end of the day, we're all just mold. We're just walking, talking pieces of mold and fungus. and sometimes people are stinkier than others, you know.
But whether or not we like them, the dirty scumbag artists, they still belong to the artist community.
Absolutely.
And it's something that the good artists need to have a reckoning with, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Now, what made you find God or Jesus? Like, has it always been something that was in your household or growing up? Or
I was a family of Christer Christians, if you know what that means.
I don't.
We go to church on Christmas and Easter.
Oh, we weren't even that.
and even though, like, two of my elementary schools were private Catholic schools, the most I knew about Jesus was from religion class, but not in any real way. And as you grow up and you see how things work, you really, when your parents make you do something, you take the thing that you're doing about as serious as they do. And that's not to shame my parents for their walk or anything, but I was following by example. I know to go to church on Sunday and then just don't even think about it the other 6 days. And then as time went on and my parents went through divorce, here it is me talking about the divorce again. Then church kind of falls out the window, and then you do end up just going for the absolute important, you know, 2 days of the year. And
now, what type of church did you go to growing up?
That was like Catholic church.
So it was like hymns and stuff the whole time?
Well, actually, it's funny. You know, as I've grown up, I know that the Catholic Church barely uses the Bible when it comes to their services themselves. They'll take scriptures and stuff, but rather than have you turn to the verse in your Bible to read along with the pastor, they actually have little pamphlets that they get every month from, like, the diocese that's like, this is the message on this day that the priest is going to give. And so you can even, like, look ahead a few weeks to see what the preacher is going to preach about. And
really, you can cheat. Yeah. You can pre-read.
And so,
real quick, if you are watching and you have any questions for Mario, or you have any questions in general of anything we're talking about, the live chat is open. You can just, even if you don't have any questions, just say hi. Just say you're hanging out. Tell us you're listening or anything like that. Chat is open. Helps us out a lot. Anytime there's conversations going in the chat, it helps the algorithms and it lets people know that you're watching this. You can always hit the share button. That helps out a lot as well. And even a like and a share. Just help us out a little bit. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, I grew up with the church where you had to kneel and stand 158 times, and all they did was amen. And just like, I got nothing from that. That was just a waste of time.
I started with Catholic church, barely there, obviously, Christmas, Easter, and then my parents divorced, my dad's remarriage, you know, another new school, another new group of people, you know, a lot of loneliness. And, you know, it was literally through, like, thinking a girl was hot and going to her church that led me down that path. And that was more of a Pentecostal Protestant church. And
Heidi walked in and made fun of my laugh. That's why I shot her an evil look. It wasn't towards you.
And then as time went on, you know, I wanted to learn more about this religion than I was learning about from one person. And that's what kind of got me towards personal study, and then, you know, I don't know what the word is, but higher education on the subject as well.
Yeah. And then I when I grew up, I then converted over to non-denomination church, or and I'm not saying this to be offensive or anything, but what I called it, black church. I was the only white dude in the church. I had friends.
What's offensive about being black?
but I'm not saying it to like stereotype or anything. Or
yeah, gotcha,
like,
I gotcha.
It was, I was the only white dude in the church. My friends from New York moved down, and it was like that, like Southern style church where like, but like, I learned more about the Bible through that church than any other like Roman Catholic mm-hmm. church ever, because they actually speak to you. I mean, sometimes you had some preachers who would go, like they'd scream a lot, but like at the end of the day, like at least you're getting a message. You know what I mean? Like they're physically talking to you and they're telling. And I mean, still some of the context was not my thing, but at least it was, I felt like it was a better message than just trying to people screaming hymns and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's there's so many different styles and varieties and ways that preachers happen, and it's interesting.
I think one of the most important thing now as a 30-year-old on the other side of the life that I've lived through thus far, I think the best thing that the church gave to me was the mindset to think about thinking.
Yeah.
I've kind of grown into this mindset of like, the people around me have entirely different beliefs than me. What got them there? You know, everyone has a story, and it's kind of why I love your show so much, Interviews with Everyday People. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a walk of life that develops them. And these last few years, man, the pandemic, being able to sit at home instead of grinding and going to work every day. It was only a few weeks for me. I got let go, and then I was told I had to come back, or they'd let unemployment know that I refused to work and they would cut off my benefits. So I was kind of like strong-armed back into going to work.
Yeah.
And then moving away from there and having to face like, who am I? Why am I the way I am? I love, and I want to understand more about philosophies and understanding of the person, the being, and sure, what comes next after we die? That's a pretty important question, but it's a question that can never be answered till you're there.
Yeah, and eventually get across that bridge.
And it's so easy to get lost in, what is it, Pascal's Wager. Christians love it. It's like, well, if you just live a Christian life and you die and there's nothing to worry about, but if you live a godless lifestyle and there is an afterlife, well, then you're screwed, aren't you? And it's like, mm-hmm. all right, well, what if we're both wrong? And you know, one of the dead gods that we don't even know about is there wondering why you have forsaken him, and he rips you apart. Or you get there and he's like, hey, let me introduce myself, I'm Bob. And then you just have an awesome time with Bob. Like, there's this false, like, I don't want to keep using these words, but like the false dichotomy of like, it's this or that, but it's this or that or that or this thing or that thing. And there's so many options. At a certain point, you say, oh, what makes people think?
Yeah.
What makes us tick? What we do know is we have this experience here right now. And yes, there's time for reflection on what's next. But also, don't walk through this life missing out on, and I'm not saying to throw away your personal beliefs and explore other people's, but understanding other people's is such an important thing to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Shift gears here a little bit. Now you said that you just did the recent one where it was the state of the pod, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for someone who maybe didn't get a chance to hear that episode or anything, what are some things for the future you guys have planned for the podcast?
Well, things like this. It was very serendipitous in a way that you had an opening for a slot and I immediately called dibs. Getting on other people's pods, having other people on our pods, having guests on. We had the band Motherline on a few months back. Probably like 6 months back at this point, but it was such a fun experience talking with an artist and diving into their creative process and doing more of those original episodes we had were as thematic with those presents episodes we're doing. And, you know, when I was going through a little bit of like a seasonal depression, just kind of down on myself, and it got in the way a lot of times. And if you're not in the right mindset, you do so many pods, you probably know how to kind of put it away. But when I'm not in the right mindset, I have to reschedule. I'm like, Chris, I'm gonna be crap on the pod. We got to pick a different day, you know.
Yeah, for me, I have to like, if I, so, I've had so many situations where I'm sitting here and it's like 15 minutes before I go live, and I had too much time to not do anything. Like I didn't keep myself busy or something, and I got in my own head and I'm like, oh my god, people, like, what am I doing? I'm gonna kind of lead into what I'm about to talk about now in my next point, but I would just get in my own head and be like, I'm gonna cancel tonight, and then I would say I'm canceling, and then 15 minutes after I cancel, I'm like, why'd I do that?
Yeah.
Like, and then I force myself through it. I'm like, I'm so happy I told everyone to come sit around this table and talk, because it pulled me out of my funk. Like, I definitely needed it. But kind of what I'm going to there, one of the biggest struggles I have at times is when you're kind of like, well, you're doing the podcast, right? And then obviously, for me anyway, I get in that mode where it's like, I wonder what people think, or are they watching just to, am I watching to be the brunt of the joke, or are they watching because they care about the content? Yeah. And that weighs on me very, very heavily a lot, where it's just like, am I being enjoyed, or am I being laughed at, you know? Yeah. And then that gets in my head, and it's like, well, I'm 35 years old. Like, is this now 4 years in where I'm going to start being a podcaster? And is this really the dream I want to chase? Mm-hmm. And I kind of let the world's opinion, or like how the world, grow up, get a job, do, like, don't follow that. And just like, oh, maybe I should. And then I'm like, no, F that. Like, this is what makes me happy. This is what I enjoy. I enjoy being around my friends. If this never does explode, like, I still have made so many good experiences, so many good friendships, so many great conversations, opportunities to do things I never thought I'd ever be able to do just by sitting down in my kitchen and hitting record. Have you ever came across that at all, podcasting, where you're just like, is this worth it? Like, where you question your creative process?
That's the important thing about the goal setting I talked about at the beginning here, that, you know, the goal isn't to pump out content every week. And we've shifted that in that state of the pod. We shifted it now we acknowledge that our aim is an episode every 2 weeks. We may never miss a week from here to the end of time. It might be every single week, but the goal or the strategy to meet our goal is once a week. Yeah. Because the goal isn't, my goal is never to have a podcast that puts out an episode every week. My goal isn't to have a podcast that puts out an episode every blank. My goal is to enjoy this hobby with one of my closest friends. And so it's almost like I saw this somewhere. I actually think I saw it on TikTok. I get on philosophy TikTok sometimes. And this guy,
it's amazing.
He's talking about how, like, if you're trying to lose weight, you can't beat yourself up over the fact that you can't run 10 minutes straight. Because the goal isn't to run 10 minutes straight. That was never the goal, right? The goal is to lose weight. And you'll get better at running over time. But you can't start kicking yourself over not meeting a goal you didn't set for yourself.
Yeah. No, 100%. I like how you guys talked about, too, like, little inside baseball podcasting, how you talked about your editing and how when he first did it, he did like four, like, he was editing for hours and hours and hours. And then he nailed it down to just getting this, like, it's you learn these little tricks. Like, I spent money on equipment, so I didn't have to go back in the editing room and adjust a bunch of things, because the way this board and the way these mics are set up, where it just, like, put it right where it needs to be and you're good. You don't have to tinker with anything later on in post. And it's convenient. But yeah, those, like you said, you have to learn how to get your little reps in before you keep going.
Yeah. And like, if you got to keep the goal in mind, because you start doing these little things to spin the wheel, right? It's like the things you're using to spin the wheel aren't what you're married to. It's the spinning of the wheel period that you're trying to get going. So if what you're doing to spin it isn't working, you switch it out, and you don't feel bad over it, because what you were using to spin it was never the goal. The goal was always to spin it.
Yeah. I listened to your most recent episode with, well, not most recent episode, but the one I just most recently listened to, where you guys did personality quizzes.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe we should have Tony on. I would 100% take those quizzes. I would probably, I hope it would not mess my mental psyche up, but, but you said to yourself, you took the, what office member am I? And you're like, oh, I got the weird one. You kind of wrote yourself off. And then he's like, well, I'm more the main protagonist. And I would argue that. I think by the end of the episode, I think Dwight is the main protagonist of the show. And he's kind of secretly always been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The development from the awkward guy at work to
he's still really always assuming awkward.
Who he is.
Yeah.
But he's more comfortable than who he is, right?
Yeah.
It was like the false bravado. Like, this is who I am. To like, oh, no, this is who I am.
Yeah. Oh my God. You have to finish that show at least once. A full through.
There's the thing. The weird thing about Office Friends. People is that they never ask you if you've watched The Office. They ask you, do you watch The Office? Like it's a continual thing. It's never supposed to stop.
It's comfort. It's comfort watch. You know, currently I'm stuck in an Office time hole, like a time pause, because we hit a certain episode on Peacock now that I am not allowed to watch without my wife, because she wants to ugly cry for some reason. And if I watch the episode without her, she will be very, very offended and very, very hurt.
Maybe she'll ugly cry from that.
Yeah, she likes the wedding episode, and if I watch it without her, it's all hell breaks loose. So that's where
almost we're like you could rewind it,
or just go on your own account and watch it whenever you want.
Yeah, you can watch it on repeat.
I like to just put the episodes on and just have them in the background and kind of mess around on my phone or work on something or research the podcast or go on and comment and kind of grow on social media and just have that in the background. I have four shows I do that with. It's The Office, Parks and Rec, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and F is for Family are the four I kind of just keep rotating through.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Actually, I have a question for you that I've been asking a lot of people lately.
I love it.
And I guess this is almost like a call to Not Cool in High School, but I've asked so many people this the last month. What's your top five favorite movies? No particular order. Just what's your top five?
Breakfast Club.
Ooh.
Number two is going to be Pulp Fiction. Three, Goodfellas.
Oh, Emily loves Goodfellas.
Four, I want to say Wolf on Wall Street, because that has, I just have fallen in love with that movie, but I feel I already have enough crime gangster movies, so I need to take a break from that. I'll throw a one in there that a lot of people don't realize or pick, or as a man, you know, obviously it's a rom-com, but 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
I love that movie. It's such a good movie. And then I'll go number five. It's a really big toss up. It's a toss up between three. All right. 10 Things I Hate About You. Sorry, you're getting bumped. It's going to be Beetlejuice.
Okay. And
Ghostbusters, but that fifth spot is really close to Step Brothers.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen Step Brothers, actually.
And I hate the fact that Chris watched Ghostbusters and hated it. Like, that hurt my soul so much that he did not like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I enjoy that question because you get to know a lot about a person just from it, you know?
Yeah.
Right? So, like, there's obviously the nostalgic pull to you. Not a lot of those movies you stated were recent ones.
Yeah.
Not 10 Things I Hate About You, I think, came out 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, the living vicariously through criminals and all that, like that's kind of like a cool thing.
Oh my God. If I could be in the Italian mob and go back in a time machine.
It shows like a little rebellious side to you, whether or not you actually engage in it, but there's that edge to you in a way. Not like an edgelord way, but like a genuine, like, you know, keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'm getting roasted a little bit in a private chat, the Breakfast Club, is I feel like that movie, I feel like if you're still in high school today, you would still experience 90% of what happens in that movie.
And nothing and I feel beats like, a coming-of-age film, and there's, what, five coming-of-ages through it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can literally quote that movie from beginning to end.
Yeah, that's a fantastic pick. Actually, it's funny. My picks are... Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder.
That may be our next Not Cool in High School topic.
I might have to make a guest stop. And then Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, The Wizard of Oz, Shawshank Redemption. Oh, frick, which one? Why am I blanking? I want to say Pleasantville, but Pleasantville got knocked off. But Pleasantville is a really good one. And The Truman Show. And then my fifth one, when I was coming up with this list, was Dragon Ball Z Cooler's Revenge.
Another, nice one that, go-to. Another one that's really high on my list is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I always wanted to be Ferris. Like, I always wanted to just be able to take people and be like, you're going to have the best day of your life today because you're with me. Like, I just think that's the coolest. I mean, Ferris was kind of a dick. He ruined his buddy's dad's car and stuff. Like, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that, like, all right, I'm down on myself. I can be around this person and they're going to make my day memorable. Like we're going to go out with no money and just go make an experience. I love that.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, being 30 something year olds and a couple of clock punchers, if you will, people who are in the work class. You don't work for yourself. I don't work for myself. We go there to get a paycheck and all that.
Yet.
You got to have that grind mentality. No, but
our voices will get us where we need to be one day.
We can hope. But in the meantime, do you ever worry that your voice will do the opposite effect and kind of screw over what you're doing?
Like what I'm going to say on my podcast is going to get picked up in my job?
Yeah, like there's some safeguarding that you have to put up to not say the wrong things, not to make the most hot take because, you know,
no,
we're not.
I go for it.
You go for it?
I go for it.
And then jumping off of that.
I've already had people at my new job come up to me and say that they've listened to the podcast. And I was like, oh, which one?
But to jump off that from the line of what we talk about and things, I want to bring up something very topical, kind of faded already. I'm not sure for everyone if it's faded quite yet, but the slap with Chris Rock making a joke. Turns out it's about a lady with alopecia. Who knows whether or not he knew she did at the time. But then Will Smith going up on stage at the Oscars and slapping Chris Rock in front of God and everyone and Twitter.
That hurt. I'm not going to lie. That one hurt. And only because I love Will Smith. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love Will Smith. Will Smith's one of those people, and I try not to idolize celebrities or people like that, but like even growing up and watching The Fresh Prince, I was like, man, I wish I was that confident. I wish I was that cool. I wish I could be so carefree. I wish I can just be unmistakably who I want to be. I wish I can dress how I want to dress and not fit those norms and just and make everyone around me better and make them more successful and just pull the best out of people. And I feel Will has always done that. And so for him to kind of resort to violence is so out of his character. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to talk about a culture that it's obviously not me, but I felt like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just put a whole thing out. Did you read about that? Where like, he was pretty much saying like, that doesn't look good for Black culture, going up and slapping him in front of everybody. Like, it's just not, it's not good for him. It's not good for anybody. Like, it was just so not necessary.
I heard a take that it was actually his Scientology beliefs that kind of pushed him in that way. Like,
he's Scientologist.
Allegedly, the idea of like instant corporal punishment, like when someone steps out of line in Scientology, the actual laying hands on someone, like a good like correction slap.
Yeah,
like Tom Cruise allegedly does his correcting, quote unquote, slap through like actual like verbal belittling. And so some people actually think that like this might be a outpouring of that.
Jenny says staged. I wouldn't put it past Hollywood, but I don't think it was. I don't know. But
I don't know if Chris Rock would be down to be publicly embarrassed like that. Will Smith has stepped down from the guild. Award. Yeah. And but,
yeah, I mean, his apology later was very Will Smith, and it was done very well. And even Chris Rock was like, listen, yeah, I got assaulted, but like maybe I shouldn't have made the joke, which I don't think a comic should ever apologize for a joke. I don't know. It's part of it.
Here's the thing. That's another question I wanted to drive down. Like, do you think that there is an actual line in comedy?
I can go to I've listened to Pete Davidson get roasted about his dad dying in 9/11. I think she can handle an alopecia joke.
Yeah. Yeah, the line, in my opinion, doesn't exist because, like, the dark humor you're talking about, like, we kind of, I don't know if your family was also dark humored. My aunts and uncles would always joke about which one was going to die first.
No, my family's not really dark humor. I'm definitely the sole bearer of that.
Gotcha. But also used to it, and maybe it's through some of the edgier, quote-unquote, comedians that I listen to, but I don't think there's a single thing that can't be joked about, but that statement doesn't mean that every joke is funny.
Yeah. I don't think it was a funny joke. G.I. Jane 2 was not a funny joke, especially from Chris Rock. I thought he could have been better.
Yeah.
And after he got slapped and he goes, oh, I could. And he just like, he says, oh, I could. Yeah. He could, he like, you can tell the next thing he wanted to say is, yeah, where was his energy when your girl openly said she cheated on you? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways he could have went with that. But he just like, you know, I'm gonna leave it at where it is, like, because I literally just got assaulted and no one's stopping this guy or taking him away.
Some people clap to it, and that's like, there's this line. It's like everyone looks at rich and famous people as rich and famous people, but there's a difference between Hollywood and comedy.
Yeah,
like,
if I walk up and slap somebody on stage, I go to jail.
Yeah,
I get fined. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, like, I don't know. It should be held to different standards. I was definitely bummed by it. Like I said, I actually had something in the works for a spoof logo for Interviews with Everyday People, where it was just going to be like a font. And I'll say it now because I don't think I'll do it now, but I was going to do a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air like spoof font. Ooh. But it was going to be Interviews with Everyday People, like look like it was graffitied.
Give it a month. You definitely can.
I don't know. I don't know if I want it now. I'm being honest. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really.
For personal or for how people take it?
Yeah. Okay, I don't care how people take it. It's just for me personally. It's like, well, it sucks too, because I do think people are entitled to mistakes, and I do think people are entitled to like change. But at this point in time, like, I'm very, as someone who was always like as a school county male, where it was just like, let's fight, you know what I mean? Let's fight. And that's how we handle our situations. And now to be like, no, I think fighting is stupid. And then somebody I looked up to just went up and slapped somebody on stage. I was like, nah, I'm not really into that. So I'll find a new spoof that we can do where just, cause I want something where it's not that, like, that art is still going to always be the art, but I want something that maybe it's like, cause I was going to do it where it looks like the graffiti for Fresh Prince, but I was going to change it up the color scheme to have like, to represent each of our like schools in the area, like Pottsville would be like maroon, the black and gold, red and blue, like, and each person that went to that school can be like, oh, this is my school version, because a big thing in this area too is like your community pride, and everyone always rallies around like what school they went to, and I thought the Fresh Prince Bel-Air would be cool, but I'll figure something out.
I want to know what Uncle Phil would have to say.
He'd be disappointed. He'd be disappointed.
Maybe instead of Fresh Prince style, you can do It's Always Sunny style. You ever see those ads where it's always spray painted on brick?
We did Always Sunny Banging Beers just recently. Did you see that art?
No, I think I might have missed it.
Yeah, we just did an Always Sunny logo where it was just the Patty's Pub thing. Gotcha. Hold on, I'll see if I can kind of drop it in there. But so what I always like too, what you guys do on the show is like you pick like categories, or you do things like, all right, here's our three things, and how do you rank this? And when it comes to, is this hot Diablo? Like
the TBS scale.
Yeah, the TBS scales, but like couples and TV are best friends, like TV best friends. Who have been some of your favorites? There it is here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It looks great in a green shirt. And Jenny, yes, you can 100% design something. If you can think of something that's not Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you can do whatever you want, because she's a fantastic artist and I love her art. She's messaging me as she's watching. Okay. she typed staged, but she's comfortable with the private message. We'll go with that. I don't know. Anything else you want to ask or you want to put out there? Open forum?
You know, I follow this group. It's like the Happiness Project. So what they do is they ask people if they're happy or not. So I'll send that to you. Are you happy?
Yes and no. Okay. I think overall the
follow-up question is always why.
I think half glass full, I'm happy. I'm very grateful and thankful for everything I have, but I always feel that I'm almost my own worst critic, and there's more I could be doing and be better at. And that's what always is my weight down. You know what I'm saying? And I struggle really, really hard of showing confidence without showing cockiness. So like when I talk to people, I just recently I was in a bar and everyone's like, yo, I love what you do. Like, I think what you're doing, I think you're going to make it. You're going to be the guy in this area who who makes this something and you're going to make something of yourself. And I'm like, oh man, I hope. And they're like, no, seriously. Like you, I think like be confident. Like I am, but I don't want to be like, you're fucking A-Rod. I am. I'm going to be the shit. You know what I mean? Like
maybe a happy medium.
Yeah. Inside. I'm like, yes, this is going to work. I don't put all this work in for this not to work. But on the other day, yeah. I still want to be humble. Be like, if it happens, it happens. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I like that. So it's hard to find that balance, I guess you would say, but I'm definitely happy. I'm happy for my friends. I'm happy for my amazing wife. I'm happy for, you know, that I have a roof on my head, that I'm not struggling financially, that I can eat. I can like, my health's not always great, but I'm happy for my health. There's a lot of things to be happy for. And I think the things that are holding me down are things that shouldn't even be a problem, but obviously they're the ones that hold, they're the small things that I have to overcome.
And then the last step of the happiness project is, to ask the person you're asking, if there's one thing you could tell everyone in the whole world, imagine maybe you have like a speaker, you do have a microphone for real, but imagine that plugs right into every single person on the planet's head. What's one thing you'd want to tell the human race?
I would love for everyone to treat everyone else as if they were legit family. And what I mean by that is I had an experience recently where we were out somewhere and somebody was outside and they were clearly high on something and they were tweaking out and they were just, it was heartbreaking to see because it was this lady and she was arms flailing and just not in a good spot. And every single person that walked by just laughed and snickered and just like, and people were like in the business just laughing. And I was just like, what if that was your mom? Yeah. What if that's your sister? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's a different perspective how you're looking at it. Like, I'm not saying that we all can be heroes and go and put that because that person has to also want to change too. Yeah. But I just think when you look at a certain situation or anything in life, just put yourself in a perspective of would you have the same energy if it was a member of your family?
It's a great message.
Yeah. I love that. That was cool. That was deep shit right there.
I wish I came up with it myself, but
where do you find this happiness project? Either way, I follow on it.
I think it's on Instagram, on TikTok, on Twitter.
You know who I've been following? That's like a really cool, positive guy. There's two of them. There's this one guy that just walks up to people randomly and he just like acts like a weirdo. And he's like, hey, I need 62 cents. My car ran out of gas. And they'll be like, and who knows if it's real or staged, because everything on the internet is staged and people somehow rather watch staged content than real content like this. Yeah, sorry.
That burns me up when I watch something that's like, I know is a setup and I'm like, okay, I'm switching.
Yeah. But this guy will just be like, hey, and the guy will be like, yeah, I'll help you out. And he'll be like, man, here's $500. I'm just testing people to see if what they would do if they were willing to help somebody else out, and they give them, but also like they have a camera in their face, so who knows if it's true. But there's another one I really like too. It's this guy and he just walks around. He's like, hey man, can I cut your hair for free? I'm an inspiring barber and I want to help people out and I just want to give you a free haircut. And while he's cutting your hair, he like interviews the person like, yeah, man, I love that dude, because that to me, that's content where it's positive but it's not forced and it seems super genuine. I hope to God it's genuine, because I hate that fake content where, yeah,
even if no one watched that or he decided he didn't want to post it, he still made an impact on the world, because regardless of whether or not he created content, he did give someone a haircut. He did give someone an opportunity to reflect. And quick correction, it's not the Happiness Project. Hopefully that's not something lewd or anything, but it's Are You Happy? So Are You Happy on TikTok and at Are You Happy Official on Instagram.
Yeah, I always like those videos too. I think they're by a thing called Cut or something, where they take like either two exes, or they take like a mother and a daughter, or they take two strangers and they kind of just put them in a room and ask them these questions to see how they would respond to one another.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just like social experiments, like where you put
truth
two
or drink.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always fun. Yeah. I always like content like that, where where people are willing to let their guard down and just have a genuine conversation with somebody that they either wouldn't have a conversation with, or they are a complete stranger.
I think that's kind of where you and I will always meet up and agree, like on not even just interviews with everyday people, but on your podcast, like all of them, the network and what we do on the networks is an opportunity for genuine exchange.
Yeah.
That's the more appropriate word than authentic. Authentic has been corrupted. What I want is genuine, whether you're on screen or off screen. on the phone, off the phone, you know, in front of me or in the other room, being the same person no matter where you're stationed. That's what I think these podcasts are about.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I try to stay in general. I feel like wherever you meet me, I'm going to be this person, regardless of this, like, I don't know. I just try to be that way. I don't know. I think that's always been super important to me, is to stay true to who I am. But, I'm not saying this is the end unless you have something else you want to go with here, but, you always end your podcast on recommendations. What are some recommendations out there that you want to tell some people about?
Fortnite has no build mode, so if you hated that game,
we have yet to play Fortnite with each other.
If you hated that game because of all the building, they now have Fortnite no build, so it's a lot of fun still to play. If you're looking for regularly occurring content, check out the UFC. Or Emily and I have been watching the Ultimate Fighter.
What season are you up to?
We're on season 19. We just,
who's the coaches?
Why am I blanking? Because we only got two episodes into that one, but we just finished up the Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate with
Ronda versus Misha. Was that Wanderlei Chael?
No spoilers, please. And we had, I don't know if we've had him yet, or maybe we did. I'm not sure.
What season are you on?
The one right after Rousey.
You don't know what number what season it is, though.
I think it's like 18 or 19. But no spoilers, because we are trying to watch all of them spoiler free. Emily does not want to get any spoilers, and she'll probably listen back to this. And
no, I won't spoil anything. I'm just trying to see who the coaches were.
You know what's crazy though? That Emily loved reality TV so much that she gave us a chance, and she went from like cringing away from watching fights. Like, we went to watch a fight at my brother's house once, and she like refused to watch the screen. Then now she like cheers along and like is calling the matches if she's Joe Rogan herself.
Oh,
and
I was obsessed with UFC for so long,
but now she won't let me watch anything until we get all the way caught up on the Ultimate Fighter, because she doesn't want anything spoiled. So, okay.
Season 19 is Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn.
Yes. BJ Penn, okay, for his second time at coaching on it. And once we finish all of the Ultimate Fighter, that's when we're going to start watching the UFC officially.
So you haven't even watched like UFC 1 with her?
No, she doesn't want to watch anything until she finishes the Ultimate Fighter, because she doesn't want anything spoiled.
Oh my goodness.
And so we watched about,
you watched the Ultimate years. Finale though, right?
Yeah, we watched the Ultimate Finale from all
of them. Okay. Because some of those finales are pay-per-views.
I don't think we got to that point yet. So far in all the seasons, it's always the Ultimate Finale.
Yeah.
Though I have seen a couple concepts of what's coming up, and I don't want to say anything because she's right in the other room, but I'm almost certain that their finale will be a pay-per-view. But we have ESPN Plus, so we'll be able to go back and watch it.
Yeah. The UFC app is really good, too. I think it's really cheap, and you can go back and watch like everything. Like, that's what you're watching on, right? The UFC app?
No, we're watching on ESPN Plus.
And they're all on there, too?
It's all on there.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, the UFC app has been fantastic. But yeah, going back and watching like UFC 1 and seeing like how much that sport's evolved. I remember my first pay-per-view was Tito versus Ken Shamrock 1, and it was like UFC 47. And then I used to get every single pay-per-view up until like 200, and then I stopped. And then I just kind of I became obsessed with pro wrestling again. I was like, I'm done with UFC.
The thing is, it costs so much now. Once we do actually get caught up, I'm gonna have to start like inviting people over and splitting the cost or something.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I used to shell out like 60 to 80 bucks for pizzas and wings, and then beer, and then the pay-per-views were 60 bucks, and
yeah,
sometimes it was like two a month. That was expensive.
Yeah. What's nice about ESPN Plus, still my recommendation, what's nice about ESPN Plus is that it gives you all the back catalog and it hosts all the fight nights. The only thing it doesn't include is the actual numbered events, UFC 260 blah or 270.
No, that's all on the UFC app.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, who is her favorite fighter so far?
Forrest Griffin is her favorite fighter.
Oh my god, sorry to hear that.
She hasn't watched anything else about him. She's only seen that Stefan Bonner fight and the lead up to that fight.
Oh, she's going to be so disappointed.
No spoilers. real quick off the top of your head, who are some of the fighters you want, you're excited to look into what their career turned into? Yes. Nate Diaz.
All right.
Uriah Hall.
Kelvin.
Kelvin Gastelum.
Gastelum?
Gastelum,
yeah.
Yeah.
And she went in so excited for Ronda Rousey. And she hates her. Ronda Rousey
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she hates her
and
that season.
She went into the Brock Lesnar season because all she knows about Brock Lesnar is what she's seen on WWE. Now, and she expected to hate Brock Lesnar, and she freaking loves Brock Lesnar now.
Yeah, so the thing with the Ronda season is they don't really dive into why she's such an asshole to Misha Tate. Because, like, Misha Tate gatekeeped her for almost a year and a half, 2 years from even going for the title. Ronda was dominating, and Misha's like, you're not ready, you're not good enough, you're not good, you're not good. And Ronda's like, I am the number one contender, give me my shot. And Misha just kept saying no, no, no. And then she finally got it and won. And then Misha was the whole time was just like, you didn't deserve it, you didn't deserve it. So that's why she absolutely hates Misha Tate, because she Misha Tate never turned around and said, like, you are good. And that's what always bothered Ronda.
Be destroyed. Take Ronda at her prime, take Misha at their prime, put them in the division right now, and they would be utterly destroyed.
Yeah.
By,
I think Ronda's
the bantamweight right now.
What's her name?
Pena?
Yeah, she's just on that season too. She was
on Team
Misha.
I don't think Ronda can hold a candle to any of the
I think
girls
if Ronda stuck
right
with
now.
What she was good at and then wasn't tricked into thinking she can stand up and fight, she would have been fine.
I think she got a couple head kicks and changed her mind on
career. Yeah, that career goes sideways. Was she a fan of Chris Lieben?
Chris Lieben grew on her, and we were always on Chris Lieben's side, especially when he knew to remove himself from a situation. He tried to sleep on the lawn, and Josh Koscheck came out and poured water on him, and rather than attack Josh, which I would fully be behind.
He punched the window.
Yeah, he punched the window instead. He almost ruined his shot by hurting his hand, but he knew better than to.
You're gonna fall even more in love with Chris Lieben once you start following his career, and you're going to continue to hate Josh Koscheck.
Emily hates. Who do you hate? Matt Hughes. She absolutely hates Matt Hughes.
Oh, Matt Hughes. He has one of the craziest finishes I've ever seen in a UFC fight. I don't want to spoil it, though, because you haven't seen it yet.
Josh Koscheck.
Josh Koscheck is a scumbag.
There's another one that was on my tongue, but it doesn't matter. Anyways, we're talking about content from, like, freaking almost, like, 20 years ago.
I love this. I love this. I miss talking UFC. I haven't done it in so long. Yeah. What's your another recommendation?
I'd say start a podcast, but, you know, it's already a flooded market.
Start one.
Why not?
It's a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot about yourself when you start a podcast.
Here's a true recommendation to everyone that everyone can and should do. Call your friends.
Yeah.
You know, and even like friends you haven't talked to in a while, you might be like, oh, well, they stopped talking to me, so I stopped talking to them. It's like, okay, but who's going to be the bigger person here? Sometimes reaching out, it doesn't work. But at the end of the day, a broken relationship or a relationship in disrepair is as easily fixed as the two people willing to put in the work.
Another thing I'll have to recommend is make new friends. Go out and socialize with people. Look at somebody like, I don't think I would ever have like anything in common with that person, and go talk to them. And I'm like, I've been honestly like, that's the biggest thing I've challenged myself to with this podcast, is just going out and networking and talking to people and meeting people. And I met some fascinating and cool ass people. And there's so many people I want to have on the podcast, but they're like shy and they don't want to talk. But I'm like, you have so much value. Like, I don't know, that's one thing I really noticed with this podcast, is just talking to people and finding the value that they might not even see in themselves, you know?
Yeah.
But let me run through real quick and get this out of the way. And if you have anything else you want to bring up before we close out of here, we can. We do have a sponsor. We have a few different sponsors, but we have one who has a little more monetary support, so we decided I'm going to do a little more for them. The Tree of Life Shop is the largest metaphysical store in our area, offering a wide range of holistic and new age spiritual items and supplies, unique gifts, raw tumbled crystals, essential oils, teas and herbs, books, tarot, oracle cards, journals, and so much more. We offer services like Reiki, crystal healing, cranial, I should probably should have asked what that meant, ionic foot detox and ear candling, hypnotherapy and past life regressions.
Hypnotherapy.
There it is. Is it hypnotherapy? It is hypnotherapy. Sorry, I'm dumb. And past life regressions. A book reading with our intuitive reader. Have your tea leaves read. Palm readings. We host weekly and monthly events, groups, and classes. There's something for everybody. You can host a private party themed with your friends. Paint and sips, craft nights, and birthday girls night outs, our bridal showers, and more. If you come up with an idea party, we will do our best to provide it for you a magical night. Located in the mystical valley of Ringtown School County, check us out on the web at treeoflifeshop.com. That's going to be treeoflife, SHOPPE.com. Or on Facebook or Instagram at Tree of Life Shop. Use code IWEP. IWEP on the website, or mention the IWEP at checkout to get 30% off all products on discount per one discount per customer. Or you can call them at 570-741-3547. And there you go. And they just added also a salt room. It's like a cool little thing you can do where you can sit in a room with like a salt thing. I thought that was on here, but I don't see it on here.
Maybe I'm intrigued on the Reiki session.
Kelly from our podcast does Reiki sessions. I'm not exactly sure what they are.
You ever get onto ASMR YouTube and stuff?
ASMR?
ASMR? Yeah, ASMR, yeah.
Where they talk really close to the microphone.
Yeah. there's a couple channels that I used to, you know, put on to help me fall asleep, and they would do Reiki type stuff. So mm-hmm. It's sparked the curiosity on the real thing.
Yeah, and then we have our Patreon, which goes from $1 to $25, or anything you would like to do to help us. All the money goes to getting us new equipment. There's a lot more stuff I want to get to make the podcast better. It helps pay for services like StreamYard that you're seeing us use now, Adobe Photoshop and editing that we do when we are on locations, and I edit videos later. But I want to thank Ryan Vox from Outbreak Wrestling. He's the commissioner of Outbreak Wrestling, so a local wrestling commissioner.
The commish.
It's awesome. David S., Brett Squared from the Cake Stand in Monty City, Bridget M, Andrew H from the Bang and Beers podcast, Greg R, Heidi B from Not Colon High School podcast, who I may be staring at right now, Ryan G from the Fueled by Haas podcast, Kelly from Crystal Mountain Healing and Truth Behind Illusion, Tommy B, the Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Brad Z, Higher Than Other Words podcast, and JH. So thank you all for your support. We do, if you don't want to do Patreon or anything like that, a share, a like, a comment, just kind words. If you go on our link tree, you can do a review on Apple. You can do a review on our website, or you can just head over to the IWEPnetwork.com and see all the shows that we do, which is interviews, everything like that, or Mario's podcast, Welcome Back. You can go right to their website. It'll take you to their link tree. They do have the same thing we do. They have merchandise you can support them with. Anytime you buy merchandise, if you just take a picture of you in merch in the merch and send it to us, I don't know. For me, I lose my mind every time I see someone wearing one of our shirts.
Yeah, it makes my day.
Did you see what happened just recently on Bang and Beers?
Huh?
Thrift shopped one of our shirts.
Yeah, I saw it.
It made my day. Yeah, and the funny thing is I think I know whose shirt it is.
My buddy's sister also listens to the podcast, and she does TikToks and stuff for like makeup by Emmy West. If you
there it is,
Google and stuff. But she did one of her videos in a Welcome Back sweatshirt, and I was like, oh
yeah. I still gotta order a Welcome Back t-shirt. I definitely want one.
I don't worry about it. I don't even have one yet.
I own a lot of t-shirts from other people, just not so much of my own, and I feel weird wearing my own face on my shirt. It's weird, but I love
that
the logo.
Is your logo.
I love my logo, but it's just weird wearing my own face.
Who made the logos that Chris and I got those faces from?
What's Tori made those.
Yeah, thanks again, Tori, because we freaking used the crap out of those faces.
Yeah, I was. Did she ever get to you with the other like the thing so you can put them on t-shirts or anything like that?
I'd have to talk to Chris about that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a very, very talented artist too. She's done a lot of our past logos. The ones that you see now, a lot of them are done by Haley Stokes, but if you're an artist in the area and you could do cool fonts or anything cool, just let us know. We're always down to try different things, and we'll give you full credit for your art, obviously. And if, or even monetization, if you want a couple bucks for your art, we're always trying to support people. But anything in closing you want to get out there or plug? or any last questions or anything you want to pose?
Let me make sure. I had a little notes actually. Things.
I'm not rushing you off. I just don't want to. I don't want to keep you if you have. If we have nothing else.
Oh no! Actually, hold it hostage. It's my cat's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday! I thought you had two cats.
Both of them, my cats. I dropped the S on the end there. Em wanted me to show you guys the hat she made for the cats.
Oh, look at this!
They did not like wearing them at all.
Not.
I want you to see these cats, brother and sister from the same litter. I'm gonna go grab them real quick.
Go ahead.
Hold tight.
This is where you welcome back your. You did play a little music. I wonder what that door leads to. I wonder if that's his front door. I don't know if he can still hear me or not. What's that? If you're in the chat, say hi while I'm waiting and I could talk to somebody. I have some people watching. Real quick, thank you to Dana for the like on Facebook and Tim Mingle for the little heart, the little hug emoji. That means a lot. Thank you guys so much. What do we got? Well, that didn't last very long. I thought I was going to have more segue. Oh, we got a cat. A ginger cat.
All right, same litter.
Got a ginger cat.
This is Klaus. He's 14 pounds. Klaus.
That's a bobcat.
And then this is Clementine. Show the side angle of Clementine. She's only 8 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Same litter and everything. This fat boy right here.
So fat.
He'll sometimes sit right next to me when we're recording the podcast.
So we know who eats all the food.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. All right. Go to mama.
Say bye-bye. Your debut is over.
I've never been a cat person.
Me neither.
We came close a couple times to going to like an SPCA and getting a cat, but I wouldn't know how to like care for one.
They care for themselves. It's so easy.
And I don't know if I'm into that. Like I kind of like, I love the fact I come home and my dog's like, you're fucking home. Mm-hmm. My day is made. And cat just like, you know, feed me and get out of my face.
You can have both. The dog will still love you, and when the cats decide to bless you with their presence because they're so hoity-toity.
Did Chris's cats leave yet? Like, is that still alive?
No longer.
In the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's still kicking.
Minerva.
Yeah.
Probably.
That cat was like on its like, it was like hanging on to that last life.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, but having like having a cat that like sometimes Klaus will just hide throughout the whole day and not really like pay attention to me, but then when I get ready to go to bed and I lay in bed, he'll crawl right like between my knees, like while I'm laying on my back. Like I've deliberately chosen to sleep on my back because that's the most appropriate way to lay for Klaus to be comfortable.
Yeah. That's how it was with my Saint Bernard. He used to try to lay in bed with us and he would take up the entire bed. And then we raised our bed higher, and now none of the dogs can get on the bed.
Well, we got about 7 minutes till we hit the actual hour and a half mark, so we could cap it there if you're open to.
Yeah, sure. Unless you have anything else in your notes that you have out.
The wonderful. Don't allow. Wrong thing. Open the wrong.
Well, listen. The door is always open for you to come hang out on any of the shows on the network if you're interested. It's always there. I know you what your work schedule and stuff, and you definitely want to don't dive down the rabbit hole of being involved in 8 shows a week.
I definitely want to be a part of that Willy Wonka episode.
The Willy Wonka. I will pose it to the team because a lot of the responsibilities of the other shows on the network I have kind of given up responsibility of, and I kind of let them.
Which is for the best. Not that you're not entertaining or anything, but you are such you threw yourself so deeply into this. You don't want to lose the passion for it by being burned out or let like the burnout and stress overshadow that everlasting love for podcasting you have.
Yeah. And I kind of want people who put their time in that are willing to leave their house and come here and record and be a part of this have more say in it. And it's just not just me dictating all the time. And that's not how it was before either. But I want them to have that freedom and take ownership of the show and care about it. So I will pitch it to them to see if they're willing to have a guest come on. And if they are, you can join us for Willy Wonka. Dana wants to know, where does that door lead behind you?
There is no door. That's actually just like it's really creepy because you see how it's kind of got the marks right there on it.
Yeah,
in the middle of the night it looks like someone's standing there.
Yeah, I hate those kind of doors where you can see through it like that. And
that's just my back door. So yeah, it goes outside.
That,
so
that's how every horror
which
movie
adds
starts.
More to it, because it's like 3 a.m. You wake up, your mouth super dry. You walk out to the kitchen, and it looks like someone's standing at your back door.
Yeah, I would. I was in an apartment one time, and the bathroom had that cloudy glass thing where you can see in but not see in, but you can see like a shadow. Hate that. I would never want that in my house. I watch too many horror movies. Yeah. So IWEP Network, welcome back. They're about you guys are what every Monday, Tuesday.
We post on Tuesdays, and you can expect an episode at least every 14 days minimum.
Cool. Do you guys have an idea what you're going to go for the next one as a spoiler?
Well, we just did State of the Pod, so we're probably going to do a banter style episode where we kind of talk about current events or just whatever things on our mind that we want to deep dive into for like 5 minutes. And then after that, we might hit our presents episode. Cool. It's either going to be on, there's three of them. It's Faith, Fame, and something else. So it presents like 4 weeks out, I guess.
Perfect. Well, listen, I appreciate you guys flying the IWEP Network banner and being proud to be a part of our network and plugging as much as possible.
It's in the pod.
Which is the EA Sports thing, which I absolutely love. But yeah, you guys are fantastic. I love what you do. I actually want to do this more often with more people from the network, is kind of getting to know each other more and maybe diving a little bit to each member of the network, even on the shows that aren't ours, and doing these one-on-one interviews. I had Andy on in the past, but I definitely want to retouch on that one and Heidi and everybody else who's on the network and do like a one-on-one sit down. Yeah. I'm really excited to record content with Heidi, because I think it'd be really funny for us to banter, but we're going to be doing tons of horror movie related stuff, so that's going to be fun.
Nice.
I'm just waiting on her to pick the movie of our first episode of that. Actually, I can plug that real quick. I've been plugging it on all the shows. So Not Cool in High School is creating, as it changed in the background, is creating some spinoff shows, and some of these spinoff shows are going to be coming very, very soon. We're still going to keep the show every 2 weeks, Not Cool in High School, and the numbered episodes are still going to stay the same. So it'll be like episode 101, but it'll be Not Cool in High School. This we're going to call them like classes or like a club, like the AV club, the chess club. But the first one we're going to be doing is the Not Cool in High School, which will be hosted by myself and Andrew Hare from Bangin' Beers Podcast. And we're going to go to a place where no one has gone before. And we're going to go into space and we're going to talk about the entire Star Wars trilogy. And we're going to watch each movie and TV show in chronological order and go through all of that for Star Wars. So it's going to be our Not Cool in High School Star Wars content. And then Nikolai and his brother Anthony are doing a spinoff show where they're going to go in chronological order when it comes to Mickey Mouse and Disney. So they're going to go through everything nice. Disney. That's going to be our Disney podcast. And then I already kind of alluded before, myself and Heidi are going to sit down and cover all things horror related. So it's going to be the Not Cool in High School Horror Podcast. Look at that logo Nikolai made.
It seems like Nikolai already set it up for you. You can start off with the Nightmare on Elm Street, move the Chucky's, just work your way through Stephen King's.
Yep. What's the H?
The H, that's Halloween. Halloween
okay.
movies, S and then is Scream.
Scream, then you nailed them all.
Now, is the podcast oozing down? Is that a reference to Carrie? We got
sure.
another one in there? There
or
we go.
Just, or it's just blood.
Or it's just blood.
but we have a lot of people who want to be guests on that one. So we're gonna knock a couple out. These won't be live, these will be recorded, and then we'll go up and post them later and people can still chat along with us. But these are gonna be episodes that we're gonna start off on the basic horror movies, and then we have some friends who are into some obscure stuff. So we'll have them come on and talk obscure horror. But it's cool. We have a lot of cool stuff coming for Not Cool in High School and the network itself. But thank you, Mario, once again for hanging out, and I can't wait to come back. And anytime you want me on, welcome back. I'm totally down.
Yeah, love the conversation. Love to have you. I think Chris would like to get on this one of these days. I know that our top fan, Jake, who's been listening since episode one, he is waiting, not very patiently, but he wants to hear the religion debate between you and Chris.
Oh, so, I want that too.
When that conversation unfolds, that's going to be a great day for the network.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm going to bow down, but like I don't want to be offensive. You know what I mean? So a lot of the stuff I'm going to tear him apart. No. Yeah. I but because like it's hard to because he's passionate about it. Obviously, this is his life. Like when people talk religion, like that's their life. Like they are dedicated to that. They have a strong belief system. Their faith is strong, especially if he's has an income to it. Like for me, like I'm not trying to sound mean or, but I just don't care enough. Like if there is something there, cool. And if I still believe, I guess you would say Christian lifestyle when it comes to like commandments. Like there's things I do that are like, I don't go out and hurt people. I don't go out of my way to do wrong to others. But like there's certain things I just can't get behind or I don't question or I worry. We'll sit down and talk to
it. Buddhist monks figured that one out too. So
yeah. So we'll that'll be a fun conversation. And like I said, I love Chris to death and I respect all you guys so much. And I'm so happy you guys are part of the network and still doing it. I kind of gave everybody in the network an out to leave and everyone's and for the most part, I was like, nah, man, you got us. We're here.
Yeah.
So we're going to sit down as a network and find out strategies of how we can promote it more. The biggest thing is just kind of just, I just wish more people would promote their stuff on the network pages. So it's not just all of our stuff on there. So we can kind of have that representation. But
yeah, Chris we're working on a new graphic that will not, because I've been making like little pictures lately where to steal a picture off of Google and throw our.
I love it. I think they're the best ones.
We're going to start doing it where we can actually like, There's one where we did Orange is the New Black and actually says our podcast name and what episode. So we're going to try to make it more detail oriented on top of just funny.
Yeah.
And dang, I just lost where I was going with that. But what were you saying when I threw myself in there? I probably made you forget too. Well, either way, can I close out with a couple?
Yes, hits? Please do.
Of course, check out the pod. Welcome back. It's our love child is two straight men have created. And also check out Patchwork Planting at PW Planting on Instagram.
It's in the pot.
Patchworkplanting.com. Yeah, it's in the pot. that's even if you aren't in the market, and it's from like your area, kind of the north east Pennsylvania, the Patchwork Planting farm.
If I put any plant in our house, it would die immediately because we are not plant people and it just does not last long. And they have fake plants.
They do plants. They do other type stuff too. They just bought a 30-acre farm where they do like photo stuff on there. I might be speaking out of turn, but they might do like weddings there as well. They sell like house decor, I think, a little bit too. It's all.
Do they grow medical plants?
That is a question for someone else. But if they do, I will let you know. Also, though, if you're not in the market for any of that at all, they're just a fantastic follow on Instagram. That's always like beautiful flowers. Every time I open up Instagram, it's like I will almost certainly never visit the farm. Not because anything against them, just because I live the other side of the state. But I just love seeing a nice like daffodil here and there.
We should do a podcast. Like I'll just bring the table. And we'll just put it in the middle of the field and just record it.
I'm down.
Be awesome. Yeah, Patchwork Planting. Go support them, which is their the sponsor of Welcome Back.
And if you guys want to sponsor on our show, just tweet at us. It doesn't cost anything. We're happy to shout people out for fun. You know,
that's most of my sponsors as well.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this episode, you're like, not only do we want to listen to your show, we want to quote unquote support it. We'll do a share for share. We'll shout out your thing, and then you maybe tweet out our episode once.
Have you ever had more luck with the other Welcome Back podcast? Has that died out? Has that fizzled? The other Welcome Back podcast. You guys reached out to them in Twitter.
Oh. Yeah, no, they weren't interested.
No?
As far as I could tell, they weren't interested, unless they're just like biding their time. But basically, I even like reached out to them on Twitter, like to interact with one of their more recent episodes. Like I listened to an episode. It was about Don't Look Up and on Netflix. And so I'd sort of like, oh, I disagree. And like, I thought that would spark a debate on like even an exchange on Twitter is enough to like maybe get someone to maybe click the pod and check it out and see what their opinion is on it. You know, like
I know a guy
as a network in general, we're kind of like, we're almost starved for a community. Like one of the things about the podcast isn't just to get big, but to create a community of people who enjoy the content. And
you don't need a million people to follow your page. You just need 13 or you need like 20 loyal people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need.
And they did not want me as one of them.
Their loss. All right. Well, that'll do it for Interviews with Everyday People. Episode 123 with Mario Milley. Thank you.
123.
1, 2, 3 coming at you next week on the podcast. I'm gonna see if this is gonna be a live episode or is this gonna be one that we record, because I forget. Next week, who do I got? Lee Everett. That'll be live on the internet. So Lee's another Everett Lee. I always mix. I flip his name. Everett Lee. He's a podcaster as well. He's been very, very supportive on Tornado Tag and talking with us a lot. So he will be on next Monday. So you can check us out again live next Monday at 8 o'clock. Come hang out, chat, and we'll have some fun. And I think what we'll just do for the thumbnail is just take a screenshot off here of us talking, and we'll go from there. Yeah. Nailed it. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Here's some fun, cool music. Bye bye.